Moonin, you're right. How are you, though? Did you have a good weekend? Yeah, cool. Me, yeah, I'm alright. Yeah, fine, thanks. Same old, you know. Same S, different day. Right, it is Monday. Monday. Another week. Another chance to put things right. Another chance to make a difference. But right, what once went wrong. I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Good. It has just ticked past 8 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. On Monday, the 30th of March, in the year of our Lord, 2026, time is marching on, isn't it? It stops for no man. Should we see what the corporate mainstream media is banging on about this morning? What that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors is trying to beam directly into your brain box? What are they lying about by omission this morning? Because that's what they always do, don't they? They're not telling you about. Should we just get straight into it? Let's have a look. Okay, we've got horror on the street and fears grow over shortages. So yeah, there was horror. They're not saying terror. They didn't use the word terror. They've decided to use the word horror. Horror on the streets. Someone in Derby drove someone, an Indian man, drove a car through a crowd of people in Derby, in the middle of Derby. No one's dead yet, but seven people are injured, some of them terribly. Fears grow over shortages of fuel and other things, mainly diesel. Big Harry this morning, Big Harry Robinson, office giant, said he would struggle to get diesel at the weekend. He did, but there was a few places that had run out. So, all right, shall we have a look then? The Mirror. What's the Mirror going with? There was some woman who won a gold years and years ago, I think in the 1960s. She's now died. Britain's greatest athlete. Oh, well, I doubt, not really, was it? Okay. May she rest in peace. She seems like an innocent soul. Okay. US invasion force. A ground war in Iran fears as yet more American troops arrive. So, yeah, I think Trump did authorize like another 10,000 troops to go out to the region on top of the 50 odd 40 50 odd thousand that are already there and the Marines and a few thousand Marines that have been sent there and the 82nd Airborne on top of that more. So all right, there we go, there's the story. In Britain it's a big story. Horror on the streets. Witness describes carnage after seven seriously injured in mayhem. So, as I understand, this happened Saturday night, I believe. Was it Friday? I think it was Saturday night. And there's a place in Derby, the town of Derby in Derbyshire. One of the main places, as I understand it, I've only ever been through Derby. I don't know Derby well, but what I've read is that there's one particular street that's just got loads of pubs and things on. And it's like a Saturday night revelers type place. You know the type of place in any given town. If you live in a massive city, there'll be loads of those places. But in a relatively normal sized town like Derby, there might just be one or two. But anyway, apparently this was a street where there's just loads of bars and pubs and things. People hanging out, having a drink. And some dude, Derby man, 36-year-old Derby man, an Indian, just drove a car through it at speed. It's not terror though. Anti-terror police are investigating, but it's not a terrorist incident though. Pretty terrifying. So that happened. There you go. That's Multicultural Britain. Thanks, Runnymede Trust. Thanks, Hope Not Hate. Brilliant. Brilliant. Thanks, Lisa and Andy. All right, so the thing that annoys me about the corporate mainstream media's coverage of it anyway is that they will often call him, exactly as I said there, just a Derbyshire man. A man from Derby. He's not from Derby, he's from India. Just happens to be resident in Derby at the moment. He's not a Derbyshire man. He's an Indian man. He was, they caught him like within 7 minutes or something. Well, it was, apparently within about 7 minutes, a few miles away. Police caught up with him. Apparently police were on the scene very, very, very quickly. They caught up with him, arrested him. He's under arrest. Okay. He's Indian. He's still, who knows what religion particularly he is, or who knows what his motivation was. But my point, I think our poll might be on, might speak to this morning. It is terroristic to me, though, regardless of what his motivations were, because, of course, there's Islamic terrorism, isn't there? But you could have terrorism of any different stripe, couldn't you? You could have communist terrorism, even right-wing terrorism, every type of terrorism. Perhaps the Jainists are unlikely to commit terrorism. But who knows what this guy's motivation was? We're not being told yet. The only information we got, I don't believe they've published his name, the only information we've got is that he's Indian. He was born in, is an Indian person, first and foremost, but has lived here for a few years. That's basically the line they've given us. All right, so there's not much more I can really speculate about it at this point, other than to say I think that if anyone drives a car through a crowd, you know, indiscriminately, effectively trying to murder anyone that gets in the way, it's terroristic, isn't it? That causes terror. Oh, and the anti-terrorism police are investigating, as I said. And yet they insist that there's no evidence that it's to do with terrorism, though. I would say it just is. There was a guy, you remember, what, is it 2 years ago now? Something like that. There was the Liverpool parade. A guy drove a car through the parade. Liverpool Football Club had won, I can't remember what they won. Was it the FA Cup or was it the league? I think they'd won the league. The Premier League, I think it was. And they get the team to stand on the top of an open top double-decker bus with the thing, and it drives through Liverpool. You know, wherever that happens, they'll do it. And like loads and loads of hundreds or thousands and thousands of people turned out, and some dude, he was a white dude, wasn't he? He was a white dude. And he drove a car through, I think he's on trial at the moment. And I can't remember what his motivation exactly for it was. Obviously, he's not Muslim. It wasn't a Muslim thing. But that's terroristic. That causes terror, doesn't it? How is that not terror? I mean, call it horror if you want. Change the word a bit if you want. But, okay, all right. So this is what happened. It only happened Saturday. They got the guy. Who exactly he is and what his motivations are, we don't know yet. All right. Just hope those seven people aren't too badly injured. We don't know whether they're in comas and they're going to die, whether they lost limbs, God knows what. It's disgusting, isn't it? Disgusting we live in a country where this basically ever happens. Before mass immigration, occasionally we would have insane things like this. What, there was like the Hungerford shooting, if anyone knows about that. Some dude, was it in the 80s? I think it was the 80s. Perhaps it was very early 90s. Some white dude went mad. He happened to own guns. He was young, belonged to a gun club. He went mad shooting people in the high street and stuff before killing himself, right? Once in a blue moon, honestly, once in a blue moon, you'll get something like Fred West or Dr. Crippin or something. But pretty rare. Like some mass casualty event, some serial killer or something. Now it's just all the time. Someone getting stabbed on the street for absolutely no reason. A kid getting murdered on the street by a stranger for no reason. Almost unheard of. Now it's just all the time, isn't it? Now it's just all the time. Just someone standing at a bus stop, stabbed to death, murdered. All the time. Some woman turning a bloke he can't have biscuits, so he stabs her in the head with a screwdriver, or whatever. Some poor little kid on a, in a park in Bolton, beheaded. No reason. You know, it's just... Multiculturalism, globalism, is evil and insane. The best society is a homogenous society, obviously. Obviously. This is an Indian man. What was he doing here? Why was he here? Why do we need millions of Indians here? For the economy? No. Nope. That's objectively not true. We don't need them here. Millions must go. Aim high and vote low. Millions must go from Zoomers to Boomers. Reform won't get it done, by the way. Or you think Yusuf is the Home Secretary, is going to get it done? Going to deport millions of people that need to be deported? Of course not. Of course not. Right, okay. On the front of the Independent, same thing. Counter-terror police involved as seven seriously injured after car hits pedestrians. The scene in Derby yesterday following Saturday's night incident, which resulted in the arrest of a 36-year-old man. Just a 36-year-old man. It's just a man. Any old man. A general-purpose man. Afghan stranded by MOD blunder, Ministry of Defence blunder, asked for help. Get Robert Jemrick on the case. He'll just greenlight as many Afghans as they want. If it was up to Robert Jemrick, Reform UK's Robert Jemrick, he would just let as many, he'd let thousands more Afghans in, wouldn't he? Is this the right thing to do, according to him? More than 6 months after the data breach scandal, that's where the MOD somehow accidentally released a giant list of names of Afghan nationals who helped the Brits during that occupation of Afghanistan, whether they were interpreters or whatever. Accidentally leaked the names. Then in Robert Jemrick's mind, it's like, oh, we must save them from being murdered by the Taliban, which the Taliban said they weren't going to. 6 months later, all these people, they haven't all been rounded up and murdered by the Taliban, have they? Nonetheless, at the time, Robert Jemrick, the immigration minister, said, oh, just bring them all over here then. His name was Wayne Broadhurst, Robert. His name was Wayne Broadhurst. Six months after the data breach scandal, campaigners are urging government to redouble its efforts. Cram more in. Redouble your efforts to cram more Afghan nationals into the UK. United Kingdom, Great Britain, rather. People don't like people saying UK. I agree with them. Faults of habit sometimes. Just redouble your efforts to crowbar Afghans into Britain. To evacuate the many who helped British forces and were then promised sanctuary in the UK. They should never have been promised sanctuary in the UK. Thousands of Afghans who were put at risk, were they? After data was leaked by the Ministry of Defence in a catastrophic blunder, are still waiting to be brought to safety in the UK. Well, if it's been 6 months, they're probably, you can make the argument they're probably largely safe where they are. It's been 6 months. If the Taliban wanted to round you up and kill you, they've had 6 months to do so. And they said straight away, we've got no intention of doing anything like that. Campaigners are urging government to redouble its efforts. Campaigners? What campaigners? Fifth columnists. Traitors, enemies of the people and the nation. Those campaigners. You're going to call them campaigners. Just campaigners. Don't worry about who they are or what their motivations are, what their worldview is. Just campaigners are urging government to redouble its efforts to cram more people from a culture and society into our country, which is largely antithetical. And their rate of crime per capita, I know British native people also do crime, per capita, their crime rate, particularly sex crime, is astronomical. Look at per capita, the average Brit, the amount of crime, particularly sex crime, they commit, per capita, very small. Afghan nationals per capita, massive. Massive. Oh, but campaigners are asking for us to redouble our efforts to crowbar more in. All right. Just campaigners. They're campaigners. The Times, the venerable Times. Two doctors behind half of all cannabis drugs prescribed in UK. Kind of funny to me. Listen to that again. 10 doctors, just 10 doctors behind half of all cannabis prescribed in the UK. So those doctors, they must think it's a panacea. They must think, oh, anything that's wrong, I'll just smoke some weed, do some hash cookies or something. I don't know what, but they're just throwing it out around like candy, obviously. As I understand it, it can help for chronic pain. I don't know. All right, that's just mildly interesting to me. It's Easter soon, isn't it? What, next weekend is Easter weekend, isn't it? There's a picture where they get a little donkey in. Get a little donkey, but donkeys are often willful, aren't they? They won't always go where they're led. Classic. Get a donkey in for Christmas as well, often, don't they? Sometimes. Donkey doesn't want to walk down the aisle or something. It's skittish, it's scared. Does a poo in the middle of the church. All right, so Easter's coming up. Okay, I think all the kiddywinks are off school, aren't they? This week and next week. Okay, PM to meet fuel bosses as fears grow over shortages. Labour urges public just carry on as normal. And US prepares for weeks of Iran ground operations. Yeah, that's the thing coming out of... that's the main thing coming out of the US, I think, of note at the moment, is that... I said on Friday, and I was also on the main podcast of the Load Seats on Friday, and my segment on that was talking about Carg Island and boots on the ground on Carg Island. They're now saying noises out of the Pentagon and the US is that more and more that they're likely to be doing ground operations, and the word is maybe for weeks. In fact, there was an article. Let me just jump over straight to the Washington Post. Look at the state of Cuba. Look at the state of those houses. It's communism for you. Ends in misery and disaster and ultimately famine. Here we go. Look at that picture. That's not AI. Pentagon prepares for weeks of ground operations in Iran. Yeah, and that's a... this was some exercises done a year or two ago in California. It gives you an idea. Look, the amphibious landing vehicles. And, you know, will something like this happen on Carg Island or some of the other islands in the Persian Gulf? I wouldn't bet against it, put it that way. And unless Iran and the US come to a deal really quite quickly, I mean, in a day or two, I would have thought, this will probably play out. So it does look a bit like AI, doesn't it? It's a bit too perfect. But no, that's a real image, real photo. So, all right, should we get back to the front pages? The Star, what slop of the Star got today? Look at that. For anyone who's only listening, they've photoshopped Donald Trump's head onto a bunny, an Easter bunny, and he's holding a petrol pump. And he's saying, I'm after the bad eggs. It is treating you like you're a child or complete idiot, isn't it? If you daily buy the Star, if you on a daily basis buy the Daily Star, it's how you get your news and that's how you prefer to get your news, you've got to be a bit of an idiot, haven't you, really? You choose to get your news this way. Like you're a little child. It says 21 Easter getaways in chaos. Like going on holiday, Easter getaways, in chaos as fuel pumps run dry. Bad Friday. Not good Friday. Yeah, you get it? Not good Friday, bad Friday. Mr. Trump with Easter bunny ears on it, look. Still, some adults do barely read and are stupid, aren't they? And would like their news via this sort of medium. Look, photo did shopped in a few Easter eggs there, look. Look, some Easter eggs. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Absolute carnage, quote, as car driven at pedestrians, through pedestrians. Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman whose mum just came here to give birth on the NHS. So a Nigerian woman LARPing as a Brit. Somehow through insane self-loathing and out-group preference has made it to be the top of the Conservative Party and the leader of His Majesty's loyal opposition. This cuckoo in a nest says, my plan will cut bills by £200 a year. Thanks. Thanks. Great plan. £200 a year, are you joking? You're joking, don't even worry about it. Forget it almost. £200 a year? If you said £200 a month, all right, that's I'm listening. £200 a year, so nothing. So hardly anything. Even a really small flat that you don't even need to heat in summer and stuff. £200 barely makes a dent. Don't worry about it, love. Honestly, do something else. The Metro. Ugh. Harry, the Steenkamp one. Ugh. What a disgrace. What a shame that the Metro exists. As panel hater Trump, they're talking about solar panels. He's a panel hater. As panel hater Trump sparks price crisis, solar sales go through the roof, do they? Do they? I doubt they do particularly. That's just the angle you want to peddle, Metro, because you're insane environmentalists that want to destroy our economy and our country, ultimately. Panel hater Trump. Good one. Good one. Was that even written by someone whose first language is English? The Guardian. Mm. The Guardian. Something about how Hannah Spencer left school at 16. Yeah, makes sense. Nothing left, parents tell of day US bombed Iran school. Yeah. That school that got hit right at the beginning of the war, which I think now has been shown to be a US error. And loads of kids were blown to smithereens. That's war. I mean, that's what war is. Stuff like that will happen. Terribly sad. But The Guardian want to lean into that because they've got TDS and they hate America and they hate the West and they hate white people. So out of anything they could talk about this morning, they're going to lean into that. Of course they are. Of course they are. The Financial Times. Escalation risk. Iran warns of reprisal strikes. Just talking about... I mean, Iran's still hitting loads of its neighbours on a daily basis. I mean, Israel and the US still hitting Iran on a daily basis. It's all still just going down all the time. But Iran, when Israel and the US blow something up in Iran, Iran often hit back at Qatar or Bahrain or UAE or Saudi Arabia. Imagine those countries. Less Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia sort of is allowing American jets, fast planes and stuff to fast jets to fly out of their airspace. So by Iran's reckoning, Saudi is now a fair target. And within Iran's reasoning, within their framework of reasoning, okay, that makes sense. But some of them aren't, right? UAE aren't. Pretty sure Pretty sure Bahrain isn't. Must be really annoying if you were Bahraini. You're like, we literally didn't do anything wrong towards Iran. And yet we still get... Or like Dubai. Sorry, Abu Dhabi. So you're Abu Dhabi. We sort of haven't done anything wrong. Yet you keep droning us and missiling us all the time. Yeah. In the news a bit this morning is that as many as 70 just British expats and British nationals that live in the United Arab Emirates, as many as 70 of them have been arrested and detained by the various UAE authorities for daring to film reality and then post it on the internets. I don't like that, because it's bad for business, their business, if the Emirates are shown to be under attack, kind of at all. Bad for tourism, bad for business, isn't it? So it looks like if you film it and put it on the internet, you'll get arrested, more or less, kind of. Probably not every single one, but they definitely don't like it. They would rather you just do a piece to camera, like a good shill. And just lie to camera and say everything's fine. Like Andrew Tate. Alright, let's have a look. What else have we got? The Daily Telegraph, the Tory Graph. Gina Lumley, she's still going. Wasn't she really old, like 30 years ago in AbFab? She looks the same as she did like 25, 30 years ago in Absolutely Fabulous. How is she still going? Her politics are completely insane. Open border, lefty, commie, lovey, nonsense. Joanna Lumley. You can be fabulous just by being nice. All right. Pipe down now. Aren't you an actress? Why are you trying to make commentary on, like, culture and things? On how people should live their lives and stuff? Labour to ration NHS referrals to hit targets. Great. Well, that's what happens if you've got a health service that's free at the point of entry for every single person, and then you flood the country with hundreds of thousands of more people every single year, year after year, if not a million people a year, every single year. Well, then something like the NHS is going to be swamped and ultimately broken. Labour to ration NHS referrals to hit targets. Great. Experts fear move will make it harder for patients to get onto a treatment waiting list. Oh, you need an expert to tell you that, do you? You need an expert to come to that conclusion. Experts fear the move. Well, it will. Don't worry that it might. It will. Make it harder for patients to even get on a waiting list, not get an operation, not be seen and be treated and sorted out, just to get on a list. Well, if you flood us with hundreds of thousands of Pakistanis and Indians and Bangladeshis and Syrians and Iraqis and Somalis and Nigerians and whoever, then the NHS will collapse, won't it? It just won't be able to deal with it. It will only be able to deal with a tiny number of people out of all the people that do need treatment. Experts fear, do they? How about the normal people just living with the reality of that already? How about that? You can't have a cap on migration, though. Not just you can't have re-migration. Right? Not, that's, of course, insane Nazi talk. But even having a cap on how many new people come in. No. Must have more safe and legal routes. Oh, what? You want a cap? No. Let's just flip that conversation straight into more safe and legal routes. That's the political dialogue. That's the political discourse in Parliament and stuff. You'll get someone like Rupert Lowe, or even someone like Nyage, stand up in Parliament, like the odd Tory MP. Stand up and say, perhaps there should, you know, can we talk about, is there any way we could have, begin to look at having a cap, any sort of number? and the whole rest of the House, certainly all the government, will just stand up and say, no, more safe and legal routes. And then there's a housing crisis. And then there's a giant unemployment. Then the school class sizes are through the roof. And then the NHS breaks. More safe and legal routes, though. Don't talk about re-migration. That's pure Nazism. According to them. Of course, it must happen. It must happen. It is inevitable, in fact. Depending on how dark things get between now and it becoming truly inevitable and really playing out. Well, it's that or become a hated and marginalised minority in your own ancestral homeland, like the white people of Rhodesia or South Africa. One or the other. All right. Little story there I thought was interesting. Far-right AfD wants US out of Germany. I did an interview a while ago, what was it, a year or two ago, with a chap called Peter Boehringer. I think you still find it on lotusetus.com. Still be there. And Peter Boehringer, a lovely chap. I'm about to throw a tiny bit of shade at AfD now, only a little bit though. And none of it is directed at Mr. Boehringer himself. I did an interview with him. And he was a lovely chap. And in fact, the Telegraph, happy to just describe the AfD as far right. They're not far right. They're just right of centre. They're pretty centrist, in my opinion. Just coming out with reasonable things. They're certainly not far right. The Telegraph. People think the Telegraph's really like, or I call it the Torygraph, don't they? Think it's like really reactionary or right wing in any way. No, it's pretty much the same as all the others. More or less essentially globalist. Essentially left. They come up with a bit of red meat from time to time. The odd thing that at first blush seems patriotic. No. The AfD's far right. There you go. The editors at the Torygraph went with that. The AfD, just far right AfD. They're not. I spoke to Peter Boehringer and I said to him, I was too spicy for him. I was asking him, saying things that I thought were sort of fairly reasonable, normal questions. And two or three times, and this is no criticism of him, I thought he was a great guy. Two or three times I asked a question, and he was like, oh, I just can't, it was a pre-record, and he was like, I can't answer that, and in the edit, post-production edit, can you cut out that you even asked me that question? And he was like, yeah, sure, of course, because we don't want to screw him up. But one of the ones I can now talk about now, because it appears to be AfD policy now, one of the questions I asked him was, would you like to see the American bases taken out of Germany? Because anyone doesn't know, particularly West Germany, there's loads of big, big US bases in what was West Germany during the Cold War. Young ones probably don't even know about that. Harry, you don't. Do you know much about that there was East and West Germany?
I don't know.
There you go. Feel old yet? Germany until 1989 was two countries, East and West Germany. All right, and in West Germany, the US had loads of bases, and they're still there to this day. Massive, massive bases. I think there's a big RAF base there as well. Anyway, does the AfD want them out? And he was like, I just can't talk about that. Like, it's too politically sensitive. Well, now, and I'm not blaming him again. Just to be clear, I'm not having a pop at that Peter dude. He was well all right. He was good enough to give us a bit of his time. Appreciated it. But now, I feel like I can talk about it now because it says AfD wants US out of Germany. So they've changed their tune a bit. All right, well. Good for them, you know, I mean, if that's what they want. Germany for the Germans. All right, the eye paper. Brexit visas for under 30s at risk as EU talks reach deadlock. So this is a story where the EU, despite everything, despite Brexit, wants to try and cram as many people as they can into Britain still. Little blurb says, Brussels is resisting Britain's demand for a hard limit on the number of young people who can take part in planned new mobility scheme. Are they Brussels are resisting, are they? Well, that was the whole point of Brexit. That's the whole point of having a sovereign parliament, is that we get to decide. Despite Brexit, Europe's still trying to take the absolute mickey out of us at every possible turn. EU offers emergency break if too many Europeans apply to live and work in UK. We don't need more people. Even if they're French, even if they're German or whatever. Well, that's the thing. Get some Syrian, go to Germany under Merkel or whatever. Someone from anywhere in the world. They go to Spain, France, Germany, some Algerians in France, like some Moroccans in Spain or whatever. They're now Spanish now. They're now a French person or a German person now. They've got EU citizenship now. German citizenship or whatever now. If they're a Swiss person from Syria. Born in Iraq, but they're now Swiss. And now they come to the UK as a European. Brussels doesn't want us to be able to have a cap on that, or doesn't want us to. They will decide how many we'll accept of those. You get it? The European project, the European Union, has never, never been in the interests of Great Britain. Never. But ministers are likely to reject any concessions on a cap. We'll see about that. And they better do. I mean, that's what they've... We'll see if they do. The iPaper understands, due to fears, voters will see it as opening door to more immigration. Yeah, obviously that's how people will see it, because that's exactly what it is. And again, like the ministers, it's not that they've got a world view or a vision of Britain not being flooded by foreign people. It's not that. It's just that they're worried voters won't like it. They're two different things. See how they're two different things? Between being worried voters won't like it and actually caring about it for yourself. Actually caring about if Britain is flooded by foreign people. So it's not just all about skin colour. Now, there's loads of people with white skin that are here that I would like to see go back to their countries of origin. Loads. Romanians, Albanians, Russians, Poles, Belarusians, Ukrainians, loads of them. This despite exclusive polling suggesting that 45% of the British public would be happy to accept more Europeans in return for improved trade with the EU bloc. Don't question that number as well, by the way. Polling suggests, Sure, that's a real and accurate number. People just want better, improved trade with the European bloc at the expense of their own demographics, do they? 45% of British people want that, do they? Of the native British people of this island, really? Don't think so. I really don't think so. We'll see what happens in the polls in 3 years' time. All right, the Daily Mail, the Mail Group, pretending it's not utter subversive globalist slop, when that is exactly what it is. The Daily Mail. Betrayal of the Strivers. That's what they call it now. It's weird, isn't it? Strivers. People that aren't on benefits. They're called Strivers. People that aren't sponging off the state. The word for you now is a Striver. You strive, so you're a Striver. Betrayal of the Strivers. Furious benefit claimants get 6.2% rise this week in their benefits. And MPs receive £3,300 in a quote, cost of living handout. And the two-child cap is scrapped. So while everyone who isn't a benefits scrounger, you have to pay for yet more benefit claimants and MPs themselves. MPs themselves quite often just do a vote quite late at night where only a few people need to really turn up and vote themselves a pay increase. That's not uncommon. They do that. Look, here, they've just given themselves another 3,300 quid. Normal people like you or I, not a penny. Mad, isn't it? Two-child cap is scrapped, so, you know. If you're an Indian family with six kids, quids in. Don't worry about how it gets paid for. Don't worry about the actual taxpayer or how much Britain has to borrow or the interest repayments on that borrowing. Don't worry about any of that. Just have more kids. Come here illegally. We'll give you a hotel, mobile phone, eventually put you in housing, give you quite high benefits, much better than you'll get in France or anywhere else. And if you really don't like it, we'll pay you up to 40 grand to go back to your country of origin, in which case you can repeat the whole process if you want. Madness. Absolute madness. Millions must go and be kept from returning. Reform policy on immigration is not good enough. It's not strong enough. Won't save us from demographic decline. Will it? Zia Youssef as Home Secretary is going to save us from demographic replacement. He's going to deport millions of people, is he? No, it's obviously not. Robert Jenrick is going to get behind that and Suella Braverman. They had a chance, didn't they? They didn't do it. They flooded us, didn't they? Didn't they? Nigel said he's not even populist, let alone nationalist. Still talking about net zero migration. One in, one out. Not good enough. Millions. Yes, millions must go. All right, The Sun. Exclusive crime chaos. Broken in Britain. It's how the police don't really do much policing. Real policing. I'm exaggerating that. You think that's a far-right fantasy? That's just a far-right talking point. No, cops give up on burglary. 92% of cases left unsolved. 92% of burglaries left unsolved. And then it says, and in a third of the country, 100% unsolved. So in about a third of the country, if you're burgled, nothing will be done. Literally nothing will be done. And in the other two-thirds, you'll be very, very, very lucky if anything at all is done. Burglary. Phone thefts, again, almost nothing done. The stats are even worse than that for phone thefts. Sexual crime, if you look at the rates of conviction against the rates of it being reported, terrible, absolutely terrible. The vast majority of them, no one's ever caught, let alone successfully prosecuted. The vast majority. So the police not really doing very much policing. What's the point of it then, really? If you're not going to investigate burglaries and your conviction rate for sex crime is tiny. All right, they're the front pages. Shall we have a look at our poll this morning? What did we do, Harry? What did we ask? I always seem to forget. It's already a quarter to, blimey. Let's have a look. What was our poll? Okay, we asked you, is it an act of terror to drive a car through a crowd? 96% of you say yes. Good. Good. Who are the other 4%? You've got to be trolling. Are you mad? What would you describe it as then? All right. Let's have a look at the websites. Was there one or two things of note? Okay. Trump gearing up for the Cog Island and perhaps some other boots on the ground to a limited extent, probably not on the mainland of Iran. That is what the Pentagon are saying. That when people say, okay, Cog Island, then think beyond that, and they're like, maybe, you know. And people say, what, mainland Iran? They're like, no, not really, probably not. But we'll see. They do keep their cars by, you know, and rightly, you know, operational security. They keep their cards close to their chest. Okay. Was there something in the mail? There's usually something of my... Oh, look, Prince Harry. Prince Harry wants to be invited back to Sandringham this summer. Could not care less. Could not care less. Oh, look at this beaut. Look at this beaut. Green Party candidate. Tope or Tope Oluwayin. Oluwayin. Look at the state of that. Tope Oluwayin, a Green candidate, says that the ambulance attack, the Jewish ambulance attacks in Golders Green the other day, that she says it was an inside job. It was done by other, quote, fellow Jews. I mean, she may or may not be right, but who knows? The point is, like, the real thing is that we don't know yet, do we? We don't know exactly who it was and what their motivation was. But she's just come out happy to say that. May prove to be right, may not. But somehow she seems to know. Somehow she seems to... Apparently she did a slew of social media comments saying that that was just the case. Don't know how she knows. Shouldn't she be questioned then if she's got inside information about it? About who exactly they are and their motivations? How does she know? How does she know? Oh, she doesn't. Oh, she's just an idiot, isn't she? All right. BBC accused of being anti-British as it slashes team behind major state occasions such as the Queen's funeral and Remembrance Sunday to just one person. So big British state things, they'll put one person on it. Despite sending an army of 550 staff to Glastonbury, which is a hippie, lefty love-in, isn't it? Glastonbury. Some sort of weird freak globo-homo fest, isn't it? Glastonbury. We'll send, BBC will send 550 people to that. Queen's funeral or the King's funeral? One person. BBC is filth, absolute filth. I'm not saying destroy its entire archive. Yeah? I'm not saying destroy everything it ever created. I'm saying as it exists today, should be got rid of. I'd tear up the Royal Charter. Tear it up. Let them see if they can stand on their own 2 feet commercially, like any other media company. See if they can. Just get rid of that license fee. License fee. Even that, even calling it a license fee. No, it's a racket. That's extortion. It's stealing money from the pocket of credulous and weak people in order to fund their state propaganda, which is globalist and anti-British and anti-white. Filth. Auntie is filth. All right, some celebrity nonsense. Fair bit of celebrity nonsense. Should we just move on? It's already nearly 10:02. Should we have a look at On This Day in History? Should we have a look at that? Should we? I don't mind doing that. I quite like that. I think you guys quite like it as well. Should we have a look at On This Day, the 30th of March, down through the centuries, what happened of note? In the year 240 BC, first recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet. Perihelion, closest approach to the sun. So Halley's Comet. Right? It's on the Bayeux Tapestry, isn't it? 1066, obviously the Bayeux Tapestry was created many years after 1066, but nonetheless. Halley's Comet, which comes round every, what is it? I should know. Is it 70 or 80 odd years it comes round? You can see it with the naked eye visibly in the sky. In the year 240 BC was the first time it was recorded, or a record that has survived, anyway. They probably saw it. Well, people would have seen it, wouldn't they? Long before that. But that's the first recorded that survived. On this day, in the year 1856, the Russian Empire, the Ottoman Empire, Great Britain, France, and the Kingdom of Sardinia signed the Treaty of Paris, ending the Crimean War. Fascinating thing, the Crimean War. I find it fascinating. Essentially where the French and the British helped the Ottomans defend themselves against Russia. There's more to it than that, but in essence, that's what it is. Russians had designs on the Crimea, even then, Well, long before then, in fact, of course, obviously. Now they've got it right now, haven't they? It was Ottoman at the time. And even though the Ottomans are, well, it's a slaving empire and Muslim and antithetical, ultimately, to Britain and France's interest. I mean, what, it was only 60 years later, Britain goes to war with the Ottoman Empire and just and ends it. So it's not like they're our friend, strategic long-term friend, like Portugal or something. But we'd made the calculation in the mid-19th century that the Russian Empire was in the ascendancy and the more dangerous thing to British interests in the British Empire. France thought the same thing. The Ottomans were the weak man of Europe, could barely defend themselves. So Britain and France would do it. We did turn the Russians back, ultimately. Not long after the Russians went in anyway. What was it, 10, 15, 20 years later? Something like that. The Russians just returned. And at that moment, Britain and France didn't have the political will or the ability to defend the Ottomans for them. So. Anyway, the accounts of the Crimean War, fascinating. The various battles, Balaclava, various battles, Siege of Sebastopol. All right, the Crimean War. Interesting. Very interesting to me. Classic stuff. On this day in 1867, the United States buys Alaska from Russia for $7.2 million, which is the equivalent of $109 million in 2018 money. It's roughly 2 cents an acre. It's a good deal, that, isn't it? Really good deal. Yeah, it's interesting. It was what would be... Andrew Johnson, nearly said Andrew Jackson then. Andrew Jackson, Andrew Johnson, two very different men, two very different presidents. But it would be Andrew Johnson, the one after Abraham Lincoln. Abe Lincoln's VP, who became president after Abe got shot in the back of the head. There's a good deal. Almost as good a deal, or better deal, actually, I think, per acre than even the Louisiana Purchase, which was much earlier with Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, it's interesting. The Russians, the Tsar at the time... Was it Nicholas I? I can't remember actually exactly who the Tsar was. Anyway, they just thought Alaska was just completely pointless. They thought it was of no value, really. Of course, it is massively of value, isn't it? Natural resources and just in and of itself. But the Russians at the time thought, oh, it's just nothing. We've got endless land. We, the Russians, have got endless lands. Right? Stretching from Europe to the Pacific. We don't need Alaska. What the Americans are prepared to give us money for it. That was their thinking. They were like, money for old rope. Like, a bit of land we don't use and don't care about. And if you got very, very bellicose and aggressive about it, you could just take it and annex it. But you're prepared to give us money? You're prepared to actually give us money for it? Yeah, all right then, yeah, we'll bite your hand off. Of course we'll take it. It was actually a ridiculously good deal for America. But the Russians thought they were getting a brilliant deal. Imagine something like that. Imagine like just your actual rubbish, your trash, your daily kitchen waste. Someone said, I'll give you money for that. And you're like, okay. I was literally going to throw it out. It's of no use to me. Well, you're going to give me 50 quid for my bin liner full of full of kitchen rubbish. Yeah, okay, bro. Yeah, I'll take your money. That's how the Russians thought about it. But, you know, of course. It's one of the greatest land purchases of all time. What a steal. 2 cents an acre. Not bad. All right. On this day in 1870, the 15th Amendment of the US Constitution is adopted, guaranteeing the right to vote regardless of race. So that was US Grant. Ulysses S. Grant. The 15th Amendment. There you go. Mr. Lincoln's butcher. He was the general of the Union armies during the war, wasn't he? US Grant. Okay. On this day, 1959, the Dalai Lama flees China and is granted political asylum in India. Dalai Lama, who weirdly touches up and kisses little boys. Still alive, isn't he? Dalai Lama, I think. It's the same one, isn't it? He must be very old now. Very old. Okay. On this day, 1972, Northern Ireland, that's Northern Ireland, not the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland's government and parliament is dissolved by the British government, and direct rule from Westminster is introduced. Yeah, 1972 was sort of like the height of the, well, near the height, you could argue, perhaps, of the Troubles in recent times. You know, like Bloody Sunday had happened not long before that. Wasn't it earlier in the year of 1972? So he was Prime Minister, it'd be Ted Heath, wouldn't it? So Ted Heath just decides that the situation's spiralling out of control, and Stormont, the Northern Irish government, just can't deal with it, can't really hack it. May well have been right, I don't, you know. So, okay, that happened in 1972. All right, on this day in 2023, key figures in artificial intelligence, including Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak, sign an open letter warning the race to develop AI systems is out of control and asking for a suspension of at least 6 months. Yeah, how'd that work out for you, for us? That went by the way, by, didn't it? No talk about that anymore. I've got my very, very deep suspicions of AI. I know it's not truly intelligent, just large language models, but there's other types that in the future, potentially, I don't think they'll necessarily be truly intelligent. I've got my reservations, profound and deep reservations about AI. Don't like it, I don't trust it. Things that we can't even conceive of at the moment could become real issues with it. Well, Steve and the Woz had a problem with it. Not so much now, they don't talk about that now, do they? Full steam ahead now. All right, there you go. Shall we do the Super Chats and Rumble Rants? All right. Only one Rumble Rant this morning? Okay. For T and Barber, cheers, buddy. You say, I can't wait for the FIA to change the engine regs ASAP because Formula One isn't working. Donkeys are actually thinking animals and will look to see if something's safe, and that's why they're willful. Okay, fair enough. Interesting. I won't talk about Formula One too much, although I'd love to. Because the vast majority of the audience of Breakfast with Bo don't like it. But the engine regs, I don't know, there's a fair few overtakes though, weren't there? You can't deny that, can you? I know what you mean, and I sort of agree, I suppose, overall. But I don't care about how difficult it is for the F1 driver to manage it. I care about close driving and overtakes. There was for anyone who doesn't know, there's a Japanese Grand Prix at the weekend. There's quite a few overtakes, even at the front, right? I don't care how difficult it is for Carlos Sainz to manage his recovery system. That's his problem. I want to see cars going side by side and overtaking. I thought it was all right. I thought the Japanese Grand Prix was all right. But anyway, I also do see what you mean. It does make a little bit of a joke of things in various ways, doesn't it? And donkeys. Yeah, donkeys. I think they're less stupid than horses overall, generally. Because a horse will just go, usually, a broken in tame horse will just go wherever it's led, regardless of anything. Whereas a donkey, not so much. A nice, well-behaved, friendly donkey is a lovely animal, though, isn't it? You've been to the seaside. There's like a perfectly tame one who's used to humans. You just stroke it and pet it. They're lovely. All right. Enough about donkeys. Let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chat. So there's quite a few of those. All right. Global church history in at number one and still at number one. Today in the year 2002, Elizabeth the Queen Mother died. Yeah, Queen Mother died. Yeah, laid in state. Nowadays, the BBC would only put one person on that whole thing. Yeah, Queen Mother. She had a very, very interesting life because, of course, she was the Queen during the war, right? During World War II. It was her husband who was the king. So she, you know, and long before that she was at the, yeah, very, very, she lived through an incredible, she had an incredible life. She lived really old. She was well over 100, wasn't she? But okay, there you go. She died on this day in 2002. Did not know that. Thank you for that information. Mr. Dickie Bingo says, Michael Ryan's uncle taught me to play drums. I don't know who Michael Ryan is. Harry, who's Michael Ryan?
I'm also not sure.
Okay, sorry about that, Mr. Dickie Bingo. Sorry about that. Michael Ryan. Michael Ryan. Sorry. I don't know. Did I talk about him earlier in the show or something? Why did you... anyway, apologies. Apologies. All right. Milesb. I don't know what that is. You don't say anything and just give a super chat anyway. Thank you for that. Mil ESB, whoever you are. Thank you for that. LJMV says, hey, Bo, we win people over by helping them step outside that moral trap. When people panic at labels like racist, they've already lost. Yeah. If Lo explains this clearly, it could break that hold. Yeah, he said it a number of times. He said on Twitter, going back a while now, if people call him racist and accuse him of that, he will just put, I don't care. I've done the same thing for a while now. Yeah, don't care. Call me racist. If I'm racist by your paradigm, are you having an in-group preference? Or not even that. If you don't actively have an out-group preference, you're racist. Okay, by that definition then, you want to call me racist. Fine. Do that then. Because I'm not playing by that. Those rules. I'm not playing by those rules. No, I'll put my own people, my own nation, my own family before that of outsiders and strangers and foreigners. Call that racist then. By your definition, it is. Don't care. That's been used to get us murdered and raped and replaced for far too long. So I don't care about it anymore. Yeah, all right. There you go. Hopefully Rupert Lowe can make that argument. People can break free of, yeah, the moral trap of that. You can't have a country just accept being invaded or we'll call you a racist. No. Not anymore. We've done that. We've played that game for decades now. Look where it got us. Got us into a terrible place. A nightmarish place. So no, not having that anymore. Yeah, someone like Yasmin Alibaba Brown can call me a racist. Fine. Call me a bigot and screech and re all they want. Don't care. I'm going to stand up for my own people and my own in-group first. All right. LJMV also says, the emotional manipulation needs to be identified and done with. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The same person who didn't say anything before, Milesb. M-I-L-E-S-B. How would you say that? Milesb. My lesb. They have said something now. They say, what are your recs for migrants to stay? Please hear. None. All go. No, they can all go. Economic migrants. Yeah, go back to your country of origin. Don't need you here. You're ruining our economy and our way of living and our society. Don't need them. Go back to your country of origin. Erwin Romulus says, morning, Bo. Love the show, mate. Have you seen Chris Dangerfield's video, A Childhood Memory, over on Daughter of Albion's channel? Probably moving stuff that I don't feel gets enough attention. Thanks for the super chat. I don't know. Big fan of Chris Dangerfield's stuff. I've done a video with him once upon a time, a fair few moons ago now. All about, what was it all about? Of Cambodia and Angkor Wat. Did another video talking about English history. I think maybe William Marshall I remember talking about. Or was it Edward I? So Dangerfield's a good chap. Check him out. And Daughter of Albion. Does she still make content anymore? I don't know if she still makes content anymore. But I had a couple of good chats with her. One about Scott of Antarctica. Scott and Shackleton. It's one of my best videos, actually, I consider. Yeah, over on History Bro. My own channel, History Bro. It's a good long-form thing with me, Daughter of Albion, talking about Scott and Shackleton. Oh, we did another one, I think, about Tsar Nicholas II. Anyway, that Scott and Shackleton one, I honestly consider it one of the best conversations I ever had. Very listenable, too, I think. Anyway, I don't know the specific video you're talking about there, but Dangerfield and Daughter of Albion, good people, check them out. All right. Azzy says, will you do an epochs on Oliver Cromwell? Cheers. Yeah, absolutely, of course. I'm going through all the monarchs. I started with, like, Alfred the Great. Well, I've got stuff going back to Roman Britain. But went from Alfred the Great all the way through Athelstan, all the way through the Anglo-Saxon period, all the way through the Norman Conquest, every single one. I'm up to Well, the last one, last Sunday, it's the Wars of the Roses. So that's Henry VI and Edward IV, the Wars of the Roses, the mid-second half of the 15th century. And I plan to do them all, plan to go up to modern day. So when I get to Charles Stuart, Charles I, we'll get to Cromwell and I'll be talking all about Cromwell. That period of the Civil War, I plan to do and have been planning to do for a long time in silly detail. I'll do many, many, many episodes about that. So yeah, I absolutely will. That's a 100% yes. Should I not be hit by a bus before then, of course. All right. Anime Chud Party. That's their name. Anime Chud Party says, "Hi from Arizona, I can't sleep." Oh, sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. But hi. From Arizona. Okay, Harry Hobag says, "Do an F1 chat at the end of each season." Oh, yeah, I could do that, yeah. Yeah. Not a terrible idea. Okay, for a half-decent amount of money there, Brandon Lucas says, "Not really a Restore supporter, but these poll numbers, if true, are good enough to get on debate stage. Strategy there would be bringing up the grooming gangs because the parties are still denying and would be a good trap." Yeah, great. Become a Restore supporter, bro. Come on, aim high and vote low. Millions must go from Zoomers to Boomers. It's the only party that's talking about how millions must go. Some people try and say there's no difference between Restore and Reform immigration policy. Nonsense. Arrant nonsense. Minions must go. Okay. LJMV. Bo, you magnificent man. Have some coffee money. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Magnificent. Not my words. That's not my alt account. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. Oh, and the last one for today. Brandon Lucas again says, "Might seem a little cynical, but do you want the mediator screaming at you to shut up, and is one of the few issues that flabbergasts the Greens?" Okay. I guess you're talking about in a debate, if there was a debate where Restore got on stage. There you go. Oh, a quick few, two more rumble rants just came in, so I may as well read them. I'm in no massive rush this morning. Ramshackle Otter says, "Bo, what's your favourite radio station from GTA San Andreas?" Well, to be perfectly honest with you, and it's a boring answer, is I usually, on the little D-pad, press down to change the radio station. I usually turn it off. Usually. Because I'm nearly always listening to an audiobook. I'm listening to my own music, one or the other. But if I don't do that, then there's one with like 80s stuff on it, isn't there? There's definitely at least, there's one with 80s music on it. Like Guns N' Roses or something. That one. I can't remember even what it's called, but that one. But I usually turn the radio off. In fact, nearly every time I get into a car, my left thumb immediately goes to the D-pad to turn the radio off. Because I'm listening to an audiobook. All right, that's the real reality of that answer for you. And the last one today, Skulldrazier. Skulldrazier says, "Show the donkey again." Everyone loves a donkey, aren't they? They're sweet animals. They're sweet animals, really. Even if a bit willful. And boom, there's the donkey. Little donkey, little donkey. Okay, that's the show. It's just ticked 9 minutes past nine in the AM on Monday, the 30th of March in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us, tuning into the Bo Show Live, Breakfast with Bo Live. Can't say fairer than that. Can't ask for more than that. Brilliant stuff. Thank you. Without you is not a thing. It really isn't a thing. It's just me sitting here on my own reading some headlines. That's not anything, is it? It's you guys. Thank you. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Seize the day. Carpe diem. If you can, your time is valuable. It's the most valuable thing you've got. It's the most valuable thing you've got. If you can, I know it's not always easy or possible, try and make the best of the day ahead. All right, without getting too preachy about it, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Take care.